If you have your Bibles, please turn in them with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. We'll be reading verses 1 through 16, and then we're going to skip ahead and we're going to read verses 21 to 24 for this morning. Let's stand in honor of God's Word as we read it this morning. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphania and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asynchronous, Phlegian, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philogius and Julia, Neros and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. And then in verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. And so does Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me, and the whole church greet you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. Quarterus, the brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at your word, that you would work in our hearts and minds, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to honor you in our service to you and our service to the church and our service to one another for the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the last chapter of Romans. Thank you for not applauding. It's been a long time. I know some of you, it's been a very tedious and very trying experience to, as some of your surveys have said, drawn it out so long. There is really a method to it, though. I'm not in a hurry. I'm really not in a hurry. I figure, look, I probably, if the Lord tarries, maybe have another 20 years. I've got to have something to preach. So I don't want to run out of material. Plus, all joking aside, it's the Word of God. And so I know it tries your patience sometimes when you come in and have to spend 6 or 7 weeks in the chapter 11 of Romans. But there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose. I believe it's absolutely necessary to lay a foundation and to work through the Word of God. And if there is anything that has caused you to be bored or impatient, that is all my fault. It's not the Word of God. It's my failure to be able to communicate to you appropriately and correctly, in a way that has passion behind it. So don't think that the Word of God is boring. I might be boring, and for that I'm sorry. But the Word of God is not boring. And I came to this passage of Scripture really not looking very excitingly to it at first, thinking, first of all, the names are hard to pronounce. Second only to the names that you find in Wahoo. Or at least these I can kind of make through some of it. They kind of, you can at least try to pronounce some of them, but you know, as I was looking at this, we're going to look at the greetings here and the ones who have done the greeting real quickly today, and then I'm going to move in, and this might be, I might be accused of springboarding a little bit today, but there's a purpose in that, and I've been encouraged as I've read through these names and what Paul has to say about them. Next week, we're going to look at verses 17 to 20. In this last chapter, Paul gives them a warning. And I think it's very important. If it's the last, one of the last things he's writing in this letter, it's going to stick out, and you're going to remember this warning that he gives to us and the importance of it. And then the great benediction, the doxology that comes at the end of it in verses 25 to 27. So, the Lord willing, in the next few weeks, we're going to be finished with Romans. And then we'll probably go through something else. I don't know what yet, but it's probably going to be really long, and so make sure you eat your breakfast before you come. No, as I looked at these verses, I really did. I started looking at them, I thinking, wow, this really is an amazing chapter. Started reading it and think, look at what Paul is saying here. Paul is writing this letter. He's sending his commendation, first of all, for Phoebe, to the church in Rome. And then he sends greetings to a great number of people to whom he has an association with and he knows who have moved to Rome. And it's amazing some of the things that he says about them. These are just some of the words before I poured oil all over it this morning. He says, these are some of the things that he says, a servant of the church, a helper of many, fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their own neck for me. My beloved, who worked hard for you. Fellow prisoners, my beloved in the Lord. Fellow worker in Christ, my beloved, approved in Christ. Workers in the Lord, beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. A choice man. Saying these things over and over and over again. And I thought, you know what? In a number of ways, you can think, wow, you can learn a lot about the Church of Rome by what Paul has to say about it in this. And this is not everybody, I'm sure, that's in Rome, but just those who Paul knows. And so he sends this greeting, and he sends this commendation. And what I want to do is just quickly work through this and look at it, because some of these people, we don't know anything about them other than that Paul has mentioned them as an association and maybe what he says about them. And so let's just work through this. The only exception to the greetings would be the first two verses when Paul commends his sister Phoebe. But again, he uses terms of endearment. He calls her his sister. Now, it wasn't his biological sister, but his sister in the Lord. His sister, one who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and as the same Father, the same Heavenly Father as the Apostle Paul. And he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Now, to commend means to present, mention, or praise as worthy of confidence, notice, kindness, to entrust, to cite or name with approval or special praise, to indicate approval of a person. And that's what Paul is doing here. And there's a specific purpose, because most likely it is Phoebe who is carrying or is going to carry this letter that Paul has written to the church at Rome to the believers there. And Paul has probably written this letter from Cenchrea or someplace in Corinth, and he's sending this letter with the help of Phoebe. And so as she comes, Paul is giving her a commendation. And he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. A servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, this word for servant is the same word that we would translate deacon or deaconess. Now, it's not necessarily that she had an official office that was in the church in Cenchrea as a deaconess, but it is something that characterizes her, because the word can be used more than just of a title. It can be used as one who serves, just one who has a heart, a desire to minister to other people in service. And we see that what Paul says about her, that is, she has the means, probably financial means here, And she has been pleased to use the resources, the finances that God has given to her to help many of the believers, probably who not only are part of the church at Sancrea, but people at being a port town, probably believers as they come in who need assistance, who need a place to stay. She probably provides for them and helps and ministers to the church in many different ways. And Paul himself says that she has been a helper of many and of myself as well. So Paul has a very high opinion of this lady. He tells the church to receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Now, this can be taken two different ways. As receiving one who is a saint and how we are to treat her, or worthy of the saints, us, say, or the church there at Rome, in a manner that is worthy of the church at Rome, the saints there, and how they are to treat those who come to them who are in the Lord. Which says much about the way we are to interact with one another, the way we are to treat one another. But here, he appeals to them and implores them to welcome her. Not as, remember we used this word welcome, receive in chapter 14, 13 and 14, where it says to welcome as one's own. That's the same idea that we see here. It's not just to open the door for her and let her in, but to receive her, to welcome her, to embrace her as one in the Lord. And they're to do that in a manner worthy of the saints. That you help her in whatever matter she may have need of. We don't know what that matter might have been. It might have been the fact that now she is on her own and she has helped many people in providing housing for them and assistance. And maybe now, since she is going on this mission trip and this mission to deliver this letter, she might also now be in need. Maybe she's in an area where she does not have the contacts necessary. And Paul is saying, help her out. Meet her needs. Watch over her. The second thing that we see are the people that are mentioned here now, or one that maybe is a little bit more familiar to us. And it starts the series that we see here. In the English, your English version, you will have the word greet used from here to verse 16, probably about 17 times. And it says, greet Prisca and Aquila. You might recognize Priscilla and Aquila. And they are important people in Paul's ministry. He met them in his ministry in Corinth. We can read about that in Acts chapter 18. As he comes to Corinth, he meets them. They were also tent makers. They had been driven out of Rome by Claudius, the decree of Claudius. And they had been part of the ministry in instructing Apollos in a better understanding of the Word of God, the gospel ministry. And we see them mentioned a number of times in Paul's other epistles, so that they were effective in helping Paul in ministry in a number of different areas, in Ephesus and other places. And now, probably Claudius has died, and they have moved back home, and they're at the church there in Rome, and Paul is writing to them, greeting them in the Lord. And he says to them, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, which again would typify what they have done. They have been his fellow workers, their fellow laborers in the Lord in the ministry of the gospel and planting churches and providing for probably Paul's needs in a number of different ways. But one of the things that they did for him was that they were willing to give up their lives for him. We see this in verse 4. It says, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give them thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, we're not told specifically what it was. It could have been the matter at Ephesus when they were there together that Paul is referencing to, or it might be something else. But what we do know is that they were willing to lay down their lives for the Apostle Paul. And so, again, we see them mentioned in a number of other epistles. And now, you know, as we go on through this further, we see a number of names, again, that are sometimes, they're hard. I just try to go through it as fast as I can, a lot of them, and hope that you won't know that I'm inept at this, but you probably already know that. So there's no sense fooling you. Epaphras, my beloved. And this is what we tell it. He's my beloved. A term of endearment that Paul uses a number of times in this. His great love for this man, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Probably now Asia Minor is what he's referring to in that Ephesus area, which would probably be somewhere around modern-day Turkey. He's the first convert to Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, here's two individuals, probably husband and wife. Paul says, my kinsmen, so they were probably Jews, maybe Hellenistic Jews. But they had also suffered at some point, most likely, in Paul's ministry, had been imprisoned along with him in the gospel ministry. And he says, my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles. Now, it doesn't mean that they were apostles. It just means that they were outstanding among the apostles. And this word apostle is used in a number of different ways. It could be used in the sense of missionaries, those who have been sent out. The book of Acts calls Barnabas an apostle. It calls others an apostle who were not in the same category with the 12 apostles or with the apostle Paul, but who had an apostolic ministry of taking the gospel, taking the message, and preaching it to the places where the gospel had not been. And so here we also see this addressed to this couple. My fellow prisoners who are outstanding among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. So they had come to know the Lord before the apostle Paul. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And Stachius, my beloved. Again, using this fellow worker, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. This is an interesting one because to be approved in Christ means probably there was some test. At some point in ministry that Paul had with him, there was some test that Apelles went through that because he had been steadfast, because he had been faithful, he had passed the test. And he, having passed the test, stood approved as genuine, as authentic. He's approved in Christ. And then Paul greets a number of household churches here, probably at least three churches that he is addressing. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian. So here he's talking about somebody within Herod's household, a relative to Herod. Herodian, my kinsman, greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. And again, it's someone who is of the household of it. Someone who has come to know the Lord. Maybe in a servant fashion, who has heard the gospel and have believed, and he's greeting them. Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. Also, his mother and mine. So this could also mean Rufus, the elect, one chosen of the Lord. Now it doesn't mean that the rest weren't also elect, but he's just using this in a sense about this man and something that he is called to his memory and in association with this man and his ministry with him. And also his mother. It's not that Rufus was his brother, but his mother who also probably acted as a mother to Paul and took care of him. And then we have another a group of names that are mentioned with the brethren with them, probably another house church that is in Rome. And then we have another group of names, probably it could be a family here, a man and a woman and their children and the saints who are with them. And then he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's the greetings now that come from Paul to the Roman church and all the people that he had mentioned. Now, as we come to it, he says, and, in the second part of verse 16, all the churches of Christ greet you. And then we have the greetings. Timothy. Now, we're all familiar with Timothy. My fellow worker greets you. And so does Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman. I, Tertius, who write this letter. So, Tertius was probably a secretary to Paul in writing down the things that Paul said. And now Paul is giving him an opportunity also to greet the church and the brothers and sisters in Christ in Rome. Gaius, host to me and to the whole church. So he's probably, again, host of a house church there in Corinth or Cenchrea somewhere. And to Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you, and Quartus, the brother. And so we see this, that there's a lot of greeting going on both from Paul and from those who are with Paul. And One of the things that we see here is the command to greet. And he tells us all also how to do it. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now that was a culture thing, a Jewish cultural thing that they did, and it's a cultural thing in different places around the world even to this day. When we went to Guatemala, it was not unusual when you would greet brothers and sisters in Christ where they would come up and give you a kiss on the cheek. Very uncomfortable at first for me, who likes my space, to have someone do that or to return in kind. But it's not that we have to start giving everybody a holy kiss literally here, but it's showing great affection for one another when we do greet one another. And I think one of the things we can miss in this whole thing is Paul is saying, greet one another. Greet one another. What a shame to come to church or in the fellowship of the believers and not to go and greet others. To go out of your way, to introduce yourself and to find out who are you and what's your job? What's going on for you? And taking the effort to really get to know one another, greet one another. And not just come and sit down and sing songs and hear a message and go, but to greet one another in the Lord. And, shake somebody's hand, give somebody a hug. Whatever it is that will show an appropriate manner in a holy way, affection that you have for the brothers and sisters in Christ. So don't take that for granted. One of the things as I was looking through this, and again, I know I'm rushing through this, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in here, but one of the things that struck me in this is Paul's love for the people who had served with him in some fashion or another, that he knows that now in Rome he is greeting them. One of the things that suggests to me too is that how much the Apostle Paul benefited from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who helped him in his ministry, and he didn't take that lightly. Paul was not a lone ranger. He needed the help of the brothers and sisters in Christ. And these people, who says, they worked hard for me. How many times do you read that? They worked hard. They worked hard in the Lord. They did these different things, and he acknowledges them to them. These people wouldn't be expecting probably this kind of greeting, this kind of commendation from Paul, other than maybe to mention their name. But Paul goes out of his way to make mention of something about these individuals that stuck out in his mind about their help and their ministry, either to him or with him in the ministry of the gospel. And Paul needed people to come alongside, and Paul needed people to help, and these people did, and they are commended for it. And that's the way every ministry should be. That is never, never, ever to be a one-person show. It is to be the body of Christ working hard together, using gifts that God has given you in different ways to minister, to reach out in compassion and kindness to one another and in the ministry of the gospel. But I couldn't help, again, as I looked at these verses, enjoying it, and just thinking about, as I were thinking about the things that Paul said, I was reminded how much I love the Wahoo Community Church. How much I love the people who are part of the ministry here. And one of the nice things, by God's grace and His mercy and your great patience towards me, and having been here for 18 years, is I've got to see a lot of things in different people's lives. A lot of these people that are sitting over here, these young people here, were only a few months old when I first came here. Some of them weren't even born yet. And now look at them. 18 years old, 17, 16. They're growing up. What a blessing it is for me to see that. And they mean more to me than just people who come to the Wahoo Community Church. To go on a missions trip with a lot of these
young people. It's just amazing when you see, when I first came down here, they were so little, some of them. And then to see them step out in faith in different ways and to go share the gospel to someone who you know they're shaking in their boots and you know they're going to stumble over their words because it's a struggle and they've never maybe been challenged quite like that before. And you see that and you can't help. You can't help but say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving them that grace. Thank you for giving me the grace to be able to see that. And, you know, as I was just going through the things in my head last night, thinking about people and that are part of this church and who have been so faithful in ministry here and who have really worked hard. We have a lot of people here who work so hard. Work hard in the Lord. Ministering and are committed to the ministry of the Wahoo Community Church. And I am so thankful for it. We have so many people here that when I think of you, I think of especially a lot of the young people, and I just will focus on them. Some of them who have moved on to other places, and I'm glad to see April here and Wyatt and others, Travis. And you know, it's such a blessing. You guys don't know what a blessing it is when you guys come back to the church and we get the chance to hang out with you a little bit and see you again. Don't take that for granted. That is such a blessing for us. And there is no greater joy. Well, there are a lot of joys that are equal to that. But when I get to participate in a wedding, Tammy and Greg, and for April and Barry, and for others, and looking forward to Travis and Whitney coming up. And, you know, I think of Kelsey and Annette, and you know, and I know I'm sorry if I leave people out. I'm just going through that. You know, I refer to that. And one time, somebody said something. I think it was Kathy. I said, you know, it's so wonderful to see a daughter of the church, you know, growing their faith and see these things. She's going, well, what are we living in Narnia here or something? And I didn't mean it like that. But as I think about that, I think, you know, yes, not my physical sons and daughters, but nevertheless, sons and daughters of the church whom we love dearly. And there is no greater joy, as John writes in his epistle, to see that his children are walking faithfully in the Lord. What a blessing it is, what a joy it is to be able to see that. There are some of you that I'm getting to the place where I'm old enough to be some of your parents. Some of you who are married and have your own children. And I've shared this with you before as the Gertsen children were at our house once. And I was calculating the age. You know, Adam and Amanda are so young. And just looking at Samantha and Andrew, and I'm going, oh my goodness, I'm old enough to be these kids' grandpa. So Samantha wanted something. I said, I don't know, go out and ask grandma. Love didn't like that. She didn't seem to appreciate that. Because she says, well, they're going to call you pastor all the time. I don't want them calling me grandma. But I see so many people I love dearer than I love my own family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think sometimes we just have to tell people that. And I'm reminded at this and saying, don't take that for granted. Don't take these relationships that God has given to us. And sometimes the ministry gets hard. Sometimes it doesn't go the way we expected it. Sometimes there's frustrations. Sometimes we want to chew each other out. And sometimes we do chew each other out. But, you know, I think sometimes that's the way families are. And I've told this story before, and I think the moment in my life in the ministry, one of the things that helped me to grow up a little bit was when we first came down here and we had the flood in the basement. I was so discouraged. I was ready to quit. And I didn't want to deal with it. You know, they don't teach you that in Bible college.
how to deal with sewage in your basement of the church. And I know this was hard for Chuck to do. But he came up to me and he confronted me. He told me in nicer words, "We need you. You need to grow up. And you need to put your hand to the plow and you need to do what needs to be done." I went home and licked my wounds a little bit after that. But after that, I tell you, my estimation of Chuck went up so high, I knew that it was hard for him to talk to me that way. But as an older brother, he was willing to do it. And that's what we need. We need people who will do that. And there have been others. There have been others who have done that same thing, who have confronted me, who have told me things that I really haven't wanted to hear. And sometimes those conversations have not gone the best. But there was a commitment to one another. And so that's where my springboard. I wanted to tell you that I was thinking about you this week. My heart filled with joy, my heart filled with thanksgiving for the people of this church, for the body of Christ here, for the hard work that you do. And my encouragement is, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Many of the there are some who have gone on to be with the Lord who have had just as much as an impact with that. And I don't want to forget to mention them as well. But let's make a commitment to one another. Yes, if we need to confront one another, if we need to say something to somebody, let's do that in love, truth and love. But let's love one another. Continue to love one another. Continue to encourage one another. Let's continue to make it our resolve that we will not have a time when we gather together as the body of Christ where we will not greet one another with holy affection. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for this time, Lord, for just to be able to express my joy and my gratitude for your mercy and your grace to me personally through the body of Christ here. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. But Lord, help us to plow forward. Help us to move forward and continue to see that you have a great work that needs to be done. And the work is not done yet. And we need to continue to work hard. And we need to continue to use the gifts that you've given to us. And we need to continue to encourage one another and confront one another and to be the body of Christ to one another. Lord, give us your grace that we might be the body of Christ to one another, and then, Lord, that we might be faithful in communicating the gospel message and holding out the great hope of the forgiveness of our sins that comes through Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone. Amen.